Amen. Church, it's all right to get a little excited about stuff like that. Amen. Hey, I hope tonight is well your soul. Hallelujah. Hey, I remember when I was lost. I remember when I was on my way to hell. But I'm glad I can say tonight it's well with my soul tonight. Amen. If the Lord was to come right now, it'd just be okay. Let's go. And if he wakes till tomorrow, it'll be all right. It's good. Amen. I can lay my head on my pillow tonight. No matter. Listen, I know things happen. My house will be burning down right now. It could. It really could. But if it does, it's all right. I'm going to heaven. Doesn't matter. It's just stuff. Well, preacher, wouldn't you miss that stuff? Well, we all would. But it's in the long scheme of things, it's just stuff. But the great thing to know tonight, that everything's well with your soul. That's what brings that peace. And I appreciate that good song. That's one of those songs that just one of those beat your heart one there. So I appreciate that good song. All right, take your Bibles with us. Two places this evening. Take your Bibles, Hebrews chapter 3. Hebrews chapter 3 and 2 Thessalonians tonight. Hebrews chapter 3. Thought we wasn't studying the book of Proverbs. We were until somebody stole my laptop. And you don't just jump back into that in less than a day. So we decided we'd give me another week to go back and restudy and get all my notes hand wrote and go from there. And but that's all good. We'll jump back in it next week, Lord willing. And we'll head down this road tonight. Again, we're going to Hebrews chapter 3 this evening. Hebrews chapter 3. And here we will be in 2 Thessalonians here in just a moment. Let's stand together and we'll read this one verse and I'll sort of give you where we're going tonight. Hebrews chapter 3 this evening. Look with me, if you will, in verse number 13 of Hebrews chapter 3. God tells us here in Hebrews chapter 3 and verse number 13, he tells us to, says, but exhort one another daily while it is called today, lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. Again, God tells us to exhort one another daily. So let's pray and then I'll sort of give you where we're heading tonight. Father, we sure love you. Sure thank you, Lord, for the opportunity just to serve you, Lord, and God, just to be part of the family of God. Lord, I thank you, Lord, for, God, this place that you've let us be part of. And, God, thank you for the church and all in general, Lord. I thank you, Lord, Lord, for your leadership and your guidance, Lord. And, God, just pray tonight once again as we've come this way, Lord, that you take the word of God. Lord, we sure need power. We sure need strength. But, God, help us to take this time, God, to fill up, dear God, so we can go out into the highways and hedges and compel others to come in, Lord. And we'll thank you and praise you for what you do here tonight. For it's in your precious name we do pray and we do ask. Amen. You be seated this evening. Let me go ahead and turn back over to 2 Thessalonians. We'll be there in just a moment. God tells us there, again, to exhort one another. And I want to look a little bit tonight on that thought. There's all types of ministries. There's all types of things that need to be done inside the local church. It takes people to do the work. Amen. Somebody has to teach. Somebody has to sing. Somebody has to preach. Somebody has to take up the trash. Somebody has to do the sweeping. Somebody has to do the lawn work. There's all kinds of different areas or ministries inside the church. But one of the ministries I believe that has been forsaken is this ministry here that we're going to look at tonight. And that's to exhort one another. And when I say that this evening, you got to be careful because of pride. You know, pride is a very wicked thing. Pride is something we all have to deal with because, you know, pride runs both sides of the street. That pride could be, look at me. And then that pride could be, oh, I'm so pitiful. Both sides are both pride. It's just which way you're looking at it. But tonight we want to look at this ministry of encouragement. And we're living in a day and hour that, again, people don't hear much encouragement. Now, if sin is sin, and it is, and sin must be dealt with, amen? Everybody all right with that? Don't you agree? I mean, a lot of people today don't want to talk about sin. A lot of people don't want to deal with sin. That's one of the reasons I was studying through the book of Joshua there. And that's one of the problems, of course, if you remember, with the nation of Israel when they went up against Ai. Because of what they'd done there prior to that, there in Jericho, they did not heed what God had said. One of the men took of the forbidden stuff and he hid it in his tent. And because of that, God says, you know, you didn't listen. So the hand of God was against them. And until they got that sin out of their camp or that sin out of their lives, they were not able to see the fullness of God at work. Same principle in our lives. If we've got sin, and we're all sinners, if we've got sin in our lives, if we've got sin in our church, we'll not have the power that God wants us to have until that sin is dealt with. Now again, I'm not saying that we overlook sin. I'm not saying that we go a blind eye to when people are in sin. And again, I'm not the sin police. You know who the sin police is? It's God, amen? If people can, and it bothers me because we got people that do this. I know things. How do you know things? Well, I have a lot of little birds. And I got a real big God. And I know things. And sometimes I have to point those things out. But before I do all of that, I try and pray and ask God to let the Word of God and the Holy Ghost of God take that person and convict them and do something about their sin nature. Just like I'm glad God does that to me. But there comes a time that is very evident in our day that they become very hardened. They become very seared. The Word of God and the preaching of the Word of God and the Holy Ghost of God doesn't convict them because they have become so hard. But you and I as believers, and again, sometimes, and parents, we're guilty of this sometimes. I believe as a parent, I'm very guilty of this. And my daughter's here. If I've been this way, I apologize to her. If my son was here, I'd apologize to him. You know, as parents, sometimes we are very hard upon our children. I've been watching and Silas is very mobile in the crawling and it will not be long. He'll be very mobile in the walking and that little boy is into everything. You know what that boy hears more of than anything? No. But he needs to hear that. He's got to learn that those things will hurt him. But you know, as a parent, sometimes we never really get to that place that we really encourage our children. As preachers, sometimes we don't encourage our flock. Sometimes as Sunday school teachers, we don't encourage our classes. Do you know the Lord Jesus Christ himself was an encourager? Hold your place there in 2 Thessalonians. We'll be there in a second. Look with me over in the book of John where we were this morning. John chapter 14. Now this is the Lord Jesus Christ making this statement that I'm getting ready to read. And in the Bible I find many encouragers. We're going to look at the Apostle Paul tonight. The Apostle Paul was a great encourager. He encouraged young Timothy in the work of God. We're going to read here in 2 Thessalonians where he encouraged the church there at Thessalonica. But here, even the Lord Jesus Christ shows forth that, and again, as a parent, as a preacher, as a grandparent, you know, again, we can't just be passive. You know, we live in a very passive age. What do you mean, preacher? Well, you know, as long as you don't rock the boat, just ignore things. I don't want to be that way. As I said, Silas needs to know that those things he cannot do. He needs to know where the boundaries are. But even inside those boundaries, he needs encouragement to grow into a young man that'll love God and serve God. We all like, now be honest, don't you like somebody that will encourage you every once in a while? Don't you hate it when somebody just continually beats you down? Anybody ever worked at a place like that and you had a boss and nothing was ever good enough? It was always okay, more, more, more. Nothing ever satisfied? Well, God's not that way. God encourages us to go forward and to do more, but by encouraging us, we want to do more. Listen to the Lord here as he encourages here. In John chapter 14, look with me there tonight here in John chapter 14, verse number 12. The Bible says, this is the Lord speaking, verily I say unto you, he that believeth on me, that's the key, He that believeth on me, the works that I do, shall he do also. Now this is the Lord speaking. Again, he says, the works that I do, he shall do also. And then notice, and greater works than these shall he do, because I go unto my Father. Anybody ever believe that the Lord Jesus Christ done some great things? Would you say if any man had ever done anything great upon this earth, it was the Lord Jesus Christ? I mean, he made the lame to walk. He took the deaf and made them hear. Now listen, I'm not Benny Hinn tonight. We're not going to slap you on your head and make you fall on the ground. We're not going to do that. That's God's work. He's the one that does the healing. But God is giving us an encouragement that even though we're living in the day that we live in, even though we're living in a dark time, God is encouraging us because we believe in Him and because of His power, we're going to see greater things of the work of God in our life than He ever saw in His life. How can that be? You ever thought about that? How could that really be? The Lord Jesus Christ, how did He get from point A to point B? Airplane? Motorcycle? Taxi? How did He get there? He walked. We have the opportunity to be in a lot of different places in a very short period of time. We have so many things at our disposal today that we could use to bring glory to God and get the gospel out to a world that Christ did not have at His disposal in those days. So couldn't you say tonight that God's encouraged us to take what's been laid at our feet and encourage us to use that for the work of God? He says, greater works, greater than what He did. I didn't say He said it. And again, we're speaking of encouragement. And again, I believe it's a ministry and it's a great ministry. It's something, again, that we all need. Again, we all need encouraging. But it's also something I believe that we all should do. When's the last time you encouraged somebody to serve God? For the majority of us, we've never. I remember as a young man, and that seems like that's getting further away than it used to be. I remember as an athlete, believe it or not, I did play sports. I remember going to the weight room. I didn't look like Brother John, but I went in the weight room. You know what I had? I had an encourager that stood there spotting for me. I think I'd give all I got, and he said, give me one more. He didn't sit there and lambast me because I couldn't give him one more. He encouraged me to go beyond what I was doing and where I had gotten to and encouraged me to push one more time to get out one more than I thought I could do. I wonder this evening, church, if you and I as believers, if we would take our young people and encourage them to press out one more time than what we have done. Don't we want more for our children than we've ever done, that we did for ourselves? Sure we do. But when we say that, most of the time we're thinking financially or physically or some kind of substance. You know, I want them to have more toys, or I want them to have more of this. Well, I want somebody to serve God more than I ever served God. I want to encourage young people to come in behind me and take up the torch and serve God until the Lord comes. But we must see some encouragement. We must see somebody that will stand there and help press on somebody to keep going for the cause of Christ. And church, you'd be amazed what difference it would make in your life to be an encourager. But also, church, you couldn't imagine what it'd be to have a little encouragement. So tonight we're going to look at this great ministry of encouragement. Even again, Paul, we see it here in 2 Thessalonians. We'll see it, and we're not going to take time to look at it. We see it in Timothy, and as he took that young man and encouraged him to serve God. Do you remember a young man that Paul had a falling out with? Anybody know who he was? Hello? John Mark. What happened? He didn't do what the man of God thought he should do. He didn't go the way that he thought he should have went. And because of that, Paul decided to ban him. Paul decided to give him up and go a different direction. And you know, a lot of times that's what I believe happens in our churches, and that's what happens in a lot of people's lives. They get saved and they don't stand up to the standard maybe that you and I have placed out there. And because of our attitude and because of our discouragement, they too will fall out. But you know what God did with Paul in the latter end of Paul's life? Paul had a changing of heart. Paul told him, you find him and bring him here. So I want to say tonight that you and I need to be an encouragement, not a discouragement. I was reading some things this afternoon and I come across a story and I thought, how funny, but how true. You know, a lot of times we don't realize what we say really can hurt and discourage people. Maybe you don't mean to, but sometimes maybe even the way we respond or not respond. Now again, I know we're not here to glorify man in any aspect. And again, and I say this with all humility that I can, and I don't want to be prideful on the wrong side either. You know, I don't want glory. I want God to get glory. It doesn't bother me that people, you know my pastor Anthony White? No, I never heard of him. That's fine with me. I'd rather them know the name of Jesus. But I read this story and I thought, boy, how how funny, but how sad. This pastor was leaving his church. He was taking another church and they were having a get together and you know, a farewell type supper or something, and said this one lady said she was just tore out of the saddle, and the preacher walked up to her and says, ma'am, says, it's going to be all right. Says, you know, God's got me a place. And said, God's probably got somebody that's going to come in behind me that's better than I am. She looked at him and says, I know, that's what they said when the last guy left. Some of you ain't got it yet. But tonight, we can say things like that and blow the wind right out of our sail, can't we? We can say something in the negative side of life and take every bit of the power and the zeal out of somebody's being. I've seen it so many times in young people over the years. We go to camp and have a great week of camp. Camp starts out a little slow, and by the time about midweek goes, they've been out of the world enough and been around the things of God enough that the fire begins to burn. They've got energetic. They've got excited. They get just up there singing with all their heart. They're just going. Come back to a dead, cold, dried up church. And everybody here throws water all over them and they're just... Why? Instead of encouraging, we discourage. A fire. What makes a fire burn? A little breeze. Now when John was growing up, it was the big pump thing, you know. He ain't listening. But you know, you put a fan on a fire, what does it do? Feeds it, doesn't it? Gets it to burn, doesn't it? And we as believers need to have, and I believe this is such a true ministry that's so needed, we need to have this ministry of encouragement. I was reading this afternoon as I was studying out some of these things. I read a story about one of our past presidents by the name of Abraham Lincoln. Abraham Lincoln, again, very well known for his presidency. No many things that we can find in the life of Abraham Lincoln that his name stands out through history, even to today. You name the name of Abraham Lincoln, everybody knows who you're talking about. But Abraham Lincoln fought depression. Abraham Lincoln fought that confidence that he needed as a president because he was many times discouraged about who he was or what he thought he was. Said the night that Abraham Lincoln was shot and killed, when they began going through his things, and I don't remember everything that they said was in his pocket, but one thing that took note that was interesting, if I remember right off the top of my head, the number might not be right, but they said in his possession when he was killed that night, he kept 7 news clippings in his pocket. What's so good about that? Said he would read those things of what man had said about what he was doing, and it encouraged him to keep going. When he was discouraged in himself, he would take out those papers and read something that somebody said that encouraged him to stand up and do right. Again, this is a ministry that the church needs to develop to encourage people to live for God, to encourage people to live and to serve the Lord. So let's look together here as we look at the Apostle Paul real quickly tonight here in 2 Thessalonians as he's encouraging the church at Thessalonica. Second Thessalonians chapter 1 this evening, verse number 1 says, Paul and Silvanus and Timotheus unto the church of Thessalonians in the God of our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Grace unto you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. We are bound to thank God always for you, brethren. It is meet because that your faith groweth exceedingly, and the charity of every one of you all toward each other aboundeth, so that we ourselves glory in you in the churches of God for your patience and faith in all your persecutions and tribulations that you endure, which is manifest token of the righteous judgment of God, that ye may be counted worthy of the kingdom of God, for which ye also suffer, seeing it is a righteous thing with God to recompense tribulation to them that trouble you. And to you who are troubled, rest with us when the Lord Jesus shall be revealed from heaven with his mighty angels, in flaming fire, taking vengeance on them that know not God and that obey not the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, who shall be punished with everlasting destruction from the presence of the Lord and from the glory of his power, when he shall come to be glorified in his saints and to be admired in all them that believe, because our testimony among you was believed in that day. Wherefore also we pray always for you that our God would count you worthy of this calling and fulfill all the good pleasures of his goodness and the work of faith with power, that the name of our Lord Jesus Christ may be glorified in you and ye in him according to the grace of our God and the Lord Jesus Christ. As Paul writes to this church of Thessalonica, as he writes here in this opening statement, Paul here is encouraging the church to press home. He's encouraging them to continue in the work of God. And again tonight, we as believers need to have a sense of encouragement. We need to encourage people to be soul winners. We need to encourage people to teach a Sunday school class. We need to encourage people to get up and sing specials. We need to encourage people to go to the nursing home. We need to encourage people to work a bus route. I got encouraged today, amen. I fell all apart in the prayer time a little bit ago because of some things that God showed me today. And he encouraged me that it's worth serving the Lord, amen. Had a lady tell me today how God saved her and how God took a bus ministry to do it. How God took a family that was in a terrible situation because somebody loved God enough and wanted to go out and get some kids to go to church. They started that bus ministry and they got those youngins to come into church, and it wasn't long that mom and daddy ended up in church, and it wasn't long that mom and daddy got saved, and it ain't long till they get involved in the church, and it all because somebody went out there in the highways and hedges and was encouraged to pick up some youngins to bring them to church. That's encouraging to me. That's the reason we have buses out there. That's the reason we encourage people to come, because God will make a difference. Trust me. I know. I've ran a bus ministry many, 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 many times. I know the hurts. I know the heartaches. I know the times that you just want to throw in the towel and say, it ain't worth it. Let me tell you, friend, it's worth it. It might not look at it now, but you don't know what God's going to do. Hey, there's thousands of youngins around this little area that God wants to bring in, and God wants to save them, and God will use them to reach mom and daddy. But if we're not encouraged to go out into those highways and hedges, if we're not encouraged to give of ourselves, of our own time and our own efforts, we'll never go do that. But I was encouraged today to keep pressing on. I was encouraged today once again that, yeah, it works. Now listen, I've been hurt many times. by people. I've been discouraged many times by people. But boy, God's never discouraged me. God's continually encouraging me. I left that conversation to go to another conversation today of a young lady that started in our bus ministry and been riding the bus for years and grew up over the last 13 years, I guess, that we've had a bus ministry since I've been here. And this afternoon she came and sat down and poured her heart out how she was troubled and how she wanted to live for God and how she was so troubled about things at school and how it just didn't seem like God was answering prayer. But boy, what an encouragement that, hey, God had spoke to her and God had saved her and she wanted to do something for God. That's encouraging. And here Paul's encouraging the church in some areas that this evening that you and I need to take hold. This isn't just something we just do. We need to be encouraged to do it for a cause. Is there not a cause? Is there not a work that needs to be done? So we find here Paul speaking here to the church here at Thessalonica. And I got three things this evening that I find in these 12 verses. That is, he opens himself up to this church. And again, I've been hurt with children. And there was many a time. Thank God for my preacher. I told him that this morning. I told my pastor this morning. I said, I don't know if I told you lately, but I love you. I did. That's what I told him, because I do love him. I told him, preacher, I don't know if I've told you lately, but thank you. Why? Because he was an encouragement to me and still is. But there was many a time, Brother Rick, that I'd had all I could take. Me and my wife would seem like we was fighting hell by the boatload. We had about 20 kids on a 15-passenger bus. And, man, I'm telling you, it was just a fight from the time we got them to the time we got them to the house. I was like, what's the use? And my preacher would always remind me of what God wanted to do to them youngins. So he encouraged me to quit looking through the eyes of a fleshly person. And to get my eyes on the prize and realize what God was doing. I ain't gonna teach that Sunday school class no more. Why? Did God quit on you? Why are you gonna quit on him? I'm gonna quit that singing. I'm gonna quit this, that, or the other. There's a lot of preachers quitting nowadays. Trust me. I've said it before, and there was a preacher here. He made a statement. You ever felt like quitting? I told my wife, I said, about every Monday. Why? Because I leave many a Sundays discouraged. Yes, sir. But then God reminds me, it's not about me. It's about Him. But you and I need to understand that we all have an opportunity. But to encourage somebody, you need to be busy. It's hard to encourage somebody when you're not doing anything. It's one of the reasons my pastor encourages me, because he just keeps going. It'd be discouraging me if I got a phone call this week and he said, it ain't worth it, it ain't real, I'm quitting. I'm going back to the world. That'd be discouraging me. I ain't going to quit, though, Lord willing. But encouragement. Three things real quickly this evening. I see Paul here encourages this church about staying in there and doing something for God. First one's found in verses 1 through 4. And it's the encouragement of praise. Again, many times we tell everybody what they're doing wrong. But do you ever tell anybody what they're doing right? Do you ever just tell somebody that you appreciate them? You ever tell them, you know, you ever tell your Sunday school class or your Sunday school teacher, thank you for studying? Thank you for standing before my kids? Thank you for taking time to teach them the Bible? An encouragement. And Paul here in these four verses real quickly gives them encouragement of praise. And again, it's not flattery. It's not pride. These are encouragements of things they were already doing. He's encouraging them to keep on and do even more. Look with me real quickly this evening in these first verses. It's Paul and Silvanus and Timotheus unto the church of the Thessalonians. In God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ, grace unto you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. We are bound to thank God always for you, brethren. It is meet, because that your faith groweth exceedingly. See, Paul is encouraging them. He's bragging on them a little bit because, first of all, he says that your faith is growing exceedingly. They're not just sitting there dead. They're not just sitting there doing nothing. Their faith is in a growing process. And Paul praises them for that thing. Hey, if somebody's doing something right, why don't you encourage them to keep doing what's right? The second thing we find here, he says there again that your faith groweth exceedingly and the charity of every one of you all toward each other aboundeth. He tells them of how their love for one another abounds. He's encouraging them not to fight like Baptists do. He says your charity, and that's not talking about giving, it's talking about their love, their charity of every one of you all toward each other aboundeth. Paul's encouraging them and praising them because they're showing forth godly love to one another. Well, I ain't talking to him. I ain't talking to her. See, that's what happens in churches. You get schisms and all that garbage. There's nothing to praise in that. But Paul here is praising them for loving one another and encouraging one another. And friend, this evening we need to get beyond our little feelings. And yes, you get hurt. Told my daughter, I gave her an opportunity this afternoon. I said, honey, here's a place that God could probably use you if you want to put yourself out there. Listen, if you put yourself out there, go ahead and count her down. You're going to get hurt. Things ain't always going to go the way you want them to. Somebody's going to get in your face. You're going to put all you got into a young, and that young is going to turn their back on you one day. Happens all the time. But you got to remember what you're doing and who you're doing it for. God's never turned his back on me, and he never will. But I told my daughter, here's a place maybe in a young lady's life that's looking for a friend. That's looking for somebody to be there to talk to her and not fuss at her and talk to her and help her grow in the things of God. I said, honey, here's a place that you can put yourself out there. But friend, you've got to get beside yourself. You know, when's my time to get praised? Again, we all want encouragement. But we need to be willing to encourage others. And that's what he's saying there. He's praising them, first of all, for their faith and how it grows. He's praising them there in their love for one another. And then third of all, it says there, so we ourselves glory in you and the churches of God for your patience and faith in all your persecutions and tribulations that you endure. He's encouraging them. They're being in tribulation. They're being overwhelmed, and God, and here Paul is encouraging them in these troubles, in their trials. Paul is encouraging them because of their patience. See, Paul is looking beyond their faults. Paul is looking beyond maybe some things that, yeah, you need to fix that, and you need to fix. No, he's encouraging them even in those times of tribulation or in those times of tough times because of their patience. They're showing forth that patience. He's praising them for those things. And then last of all, we find them here. It says there in verse 4, so we ourselves glory in you, the church of God, for your patience and faith and all your persecutions and your tribulations that ye endure. And he's talking to them there about their testimony of help too. Again, we need to encourage one another to praise people when they're doing something for God. Again, don't nitpick. Oh, my goodness. Do you do everything right? No. So why do you think they're going to do everything right? We need to encourage one another in praise. Again, you got to be careful. If you're not careful, it'll be pride. But Paul's encouraging them through praise for what purpose? In the work of God. So we find that encouragement there through praise. Second of all, this evening, verses 5 through 10, Paul is speaking here of things to come. He tells them there that it says, which is a manifest token of the righteous judgment of God, that you may be counted worthy of the kingdom of God for which ye also suffer, seeing it is a righteous thing with God to recompense tribulation to them that trouble you. And to you who are troubled, rest with us, which the Lord Jesus shall be revealed from heaven with his mighty angels in flaming fire, taking vengeance on them that know not God and that obey not the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, who shall be punished with everlasting destruction from the presence of the Lord and from the glory of his power when he shall come to be glorified in his saints and to be admired in all them that believe because of our testimony among you was believed in that day. In those verses, God is speaking there to those church at Thessalonica. He tells them, first of all, he's encouraging them because of what they're doing right. And then he's encouraging them of what God will do. We can encourage people through the promises of God. And that's what Paul's reminding them of. He's reminding them, even though they're in that tribulation, even though they're in that time of suffering, God is not mocked. God is taking note. God will repay. God will come into that place and he will destroy those enemies. So through that thought there of the promises of God, he's encouraging them to continue on. Isn't it great when somebody encourages that, hey, friend, God said he'd never leave you nor forsake you. Ain't that encouraging? Sometimes we just need to, hey, I just want to tell you, God loves you. That's encouraging. God's coming back. That's encouraging to me. So we can encourage through praise, and we should. We can encourage through the promises, and those are true. And then last of all, this season we find here, again, this is a ministry of encouragement. Listen to me, and it's happening all over our land. And again, I say this, and I want to say it in the right way. I look across, and again, I don't know everything. I can't be everywhere. Brother Rick's in a lot of different churches all over our land. It's a shame to see the people that are turning their backs and walking away from the house of God. Many of churches across our land are struggling today because people don't want to go to church anymore. People don't care about church. People that's been in church most of their life will just turn their back and walk away. I've seen it over and over and over again. And it's sad. But the friend that I know, again, it breaks my heart, but friend, I know that God's church is not going to fail. Why? Because God promised me that it wouldn't. Listen, if he doesn't build the house, we that labor, labor in vain. It's God's work. It's his business. But we need to be faithful. We need to be busy. And again, we need to encourage people to step up to the plate and serve. Listen, I don't know if you've not figured it out, but some of us are going to be off the scene before long. Who's going to fill our shoes? Man, we've seen some great preachers over the last couple of years. God's called them home. Who's there to fill the shoes? Brother Rick mentioned South Korea. The doors are wide open for the gospel to go into the schools and into the prisons. And it's just an open door to be able to take the word of God. But where is everybody? There's more missionaries coming off the field than they are going on the field. Where are they? If we don't start encouraging people to serve God, if we don't start encouraging people to live for God, we're just going to continue to see a decline of people doing anything for God. So we need to try to encourage people through praise. We need to encourage people through the promises of God. And then, again, this is a ministry. And one of the greatest things that everybody, listen, maybe you're not a soul winner as far as maybe you're not good at encouraging people to get out there and beat the timbers, as Brother Melvin would say. But that doesn't mean we shouldn't be doing it. But this last point is something that every one of us can do if you're saved. The last place that we find here, Paul encouraging this church here at Thessalonica. Look with me in verse number 11. It says, wherefore also we pray always for you, that our God would count you worthy of his calling and fulfill all the good pleasure of his goodness and the work of faith with power, that the name of our Lord Jesus Christ may be glorified in you and ye in him according to the grace of our God and the Lord Jesus Christ. The third way that we can encourage is by prayer. When's the last time you prayed for somebody in this church? When's the last time you prayed for the preacher? When's the last time you prayed for your Sunday school teacher? When's the last time you prayed for your class? When's the last time you prayed for the singing? When's the last time you prayed for the ones playing the instruments? We need to understand that prayer is a way of encouragement, that we're going before God and we're petitioning on behalf of somebody else and not ourselves, that God would use them, that God would encourage them to press on. And here Paul encourages the church here at Thessalonica by telling them, I'm praying for you. Aren't you glad when you've hit the rock bottom? Aren't you glad when something fell in your lap and the winds got knocked out of your sail? Aren't you glad somebody will pray for you? Then why do we wait till that happens? Why don't we pray for one for another? Why don't we take our list out that we have back there with all those phone numbers, our directory, and pray over those names? God's woke me up before with somebody's name on my heart. You know what I do? I pray for them. I don't know what it is. I don't know what the problems are. I don't need to know. But I go to God on their behalf. Why? Because that's an encouragement. Boy, it's something when somebody puts their arms around my neck and say, preacher, I've been praying for you. I love it every Sunday morning. You know what my preacher does? Every Sunday morning, he tells me he's praying for me. And he don't just say it to be saying it. He prays for me. That's an encouragement to me. And Paul here is reminding them that the prayer of a righteous man availeth much. And Paul here prays for them in three areas of prayer that we find here in those two verses. And the first one there, look with me, he says, wherefore also we pray always for you. Always. Not just hit and miss. Always, he says, for you. Notice what he's praying for. That our God would count you worthy of this calling. You know, that's something everybody struggles with. I just don't feel like I'm good enough. I don't feel like I'm worthy enough. We all fight that mess. God chooses to use creatures like us. Imperfect, sinful. God chooses to put that glorious gospel in this vessel and use us to take it to the lost and dying world. But many times the old devil will slip in and say, I know who you are. I know what you've done. God won't use you. Ever been there? But I'm glad I have people like Paul praying for me that I can overlook my flesh and overlook the taunts of the devil and realize that, hey, God wants to use me. And God will use me if I let Him. So we find encouragement through prayer for that thought of their worthiness. Second of all, He speaks there, account you worthy of this calling and fulfill all the good pleasures of His goodness and the work of faith with power. He's praying for the walk, their work, what they're doing for God. You ever pray for your missionaries? When's the last time you prayed for one? When's the last time you took time to, well, preacher, I put money in the plate. Wonderful. They need it. Do you even know what our missionaries are facing? Why are you pointing that way on the other side of that wall? Is every prayer letter we get from our missionaries. Do you know what's going on in their life? Can't say you pray for them if you don't know what they're needing prayer for. Read it. Take time. My wife would be glad to make you a copy. Praying for them. Paul here is praying that they'll stay in there and do something for God. He's praying for their walk there in those verses. Then last of all, verse 12 says that the name of our Lord Jesus Christ may be glorified in you and you in Him according to the grace of our God and the Lord Jesus Christ. He's praying for their witness. That they'll lift up the name of Christ. That they'll give all they've got to let the gospel be heard. Tonight, church, would you be an encourager? Well, preach, I need encouraging. So do I. You know who encourages me the most? My Father. I get encouragement by reading this book. I get encouragement by talking and listening to my Father. But it's still good every once in a while. And again, you got to be careful. I don't want pride. I don't want to get that in the way. But listen, I like our young folk down here. I'd like to encourage them to live for God more than I ever lived for God. I'd like to encourage that generation coming on to do more for God than we ever thought could be done for God. But when's the last time you encouraged somebody? I'll tell you this, and I'm closing, and I miss him. I really do. Brother Ernie Bartlett was a very quiet man. But I believe when it comes to the ministry of encouragement, Brother Bartlett was probably one of the best I've ever seen in encouraging. Amen. He didn't speak a lot, but when he spoke. We're missing people like that. Little things. That don't mean nothing. It means something to somebody. The ministry of encouragement. That's something every one of us need, and it's something every one of us can do through praise. Brag on somebody a little bit. Tell them they're doing a good job teaching that Sunday school class. Tell them they're doing a good job bringing them youngins in on the bus. Encourage them through praise. Encourage people through the promises of God if you know what they are. Tell them God said He'll never leave you. God said He loved you. Encourage people through those promises. One of my great ones that I like to tell people, this too shall come to pass. Why? Because I'm dealing with people that's got problems all the time. But I know what God said. This too shall come to pass. Amen. Listen, you're going to go through it for a little bit, but you'll come out the other side. Encouraging through praise. Encouraging them through prayer. Encouraging them through the promises of God. We need some encouraging people. Some people will take up the reins of this ministry and just say, hey, you know what? God's been good to me. You know what this younger generation don't hear a lot of? People bragging on how good God's been to them. Hello? They should hear that a lot. We talk more about how we've got a big 401k and how we got a big bank account and how we got this. You wouldn't have any of it if it wasn't for God. Neither would I. Let's brag on God. That encourages people. So this evening, God says He needs somebody to take a hold of the ministry of encouragement and encourage some people this week to just live for God. Would that be you? Let's stand together this evening.